Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The best coverage of the Padres is right here. You're listening to Fryer Friday on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, here we are. Final hour of the week. What's
flown by?
You said we were never going to make it.
Flown by today. Been a
but
fun
we
show.
Did. We did make it. It's been a fun week. It's fun to have the Padres back.
It really is.
Even the day off yesterday, and we needed it just to lower our stress level. These games are much too intense.
They are.
In a short
so
season.
So intense, man.
I care way too much. I like about baseball that I don't have to care about every single game. You know what? Hey, they lost two out of three in a series.
No big deal. They'll make it up.
It's still April. Yeah. Long way to go.
Not anymore.
Don't get swept. It's fine. Now it's like every single game takes on such significance in such a short season. Makes it tough to take. And they got the Dodgers, four more Monday through Thursday up at Dodger Stadium. Tonight, Padres host the Arizona Diamondbacks. Zach Davies going up against Luke Weaver in game one of the three-game series. And, you know, Diamondbacks had been struggling a little bit, broke out a little bit the last couple of days offensively. So Padres need to you want to have at least one team in the division that thinks they're out of it.
Yes.
You don't want every team, like, you know, playing all out all season
scrapping
long.
Scrapping and grinding for
it's
wins.
It's already a tough enough
God,
division.
I know.
Can you knock one team kind of out of contention early? That would be great. So we'll talk a lot of Padres baseball here in our final hour, but we'll begin with this week's edition of the Management Report.
Are you ready to find out what's going on with the Padres? Nobody gives you inside access to the Padres like we do. Let's take you inside the executive suite at Petco Park. It's the Management Report on Fryer Friday, right here on 97.3 The Fan.
And as we go out to our SDCCU fan hotline, a pleasure to welcome back to Ben and Woods, the Padres Director of Player Development, Sam Gainey, with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Sam, it's good to have you on this morning.
Good to be back, guys. It's been a little while, and obviously we find ourselves in a little different time in the world and in the baseball season than we normally would be this time of the year, but happy to be back talking with you guys about some prospects.
So, Sam, I'm assuming that with no, you know, minor league season this year, that you're just, you know, sitting, drinking pina coladas,
yeah,
watching games on television,
just
and
chilling.
Not much to do, right?
There was a little bit of that, you know, obviously when the world kind of shut down for a couple months, there was kind of a mid-career sabbatical, you could kind of say, for a little while. But, you know, as your intro says from the, you know, checking in on us from the executive offices at Petco, we're actually, I'm in a slightly different spot than I would normally be this time of the year. This time of the year, I'd probably be, you know, fanned out, kind of visiting our minor league affiliates, obviously minor league baseball, not happening in the kind of normal form that it typically takes, but I am in the San Diego city limits, where actually I'm beautiful Ron Fowler Park here at the University of San Diego, kind of overlooking what has been for the last month or so turned into our alternate training site. So very fortunate to be where we are. It's kind of a unique circumstances that, you know, brought us here, but definitely a little different than typical years would find ourselves and our player development department and a lot of our players in early August.
We are talking to Sam Gainey from the San Diego Padres. He is the director of player development. And would you, Sam, be so kind as to paint the picture of what that looks like out at USD?
Yeah, because it's kind of shrouded in mystery a little bit.
I mean, as much as you can give us, you know, because I in my mind's eye, I'm like, what are they just hitting ground balls all day? Like,
yeah, it's not have a prying eyes out there.
Right. But I mean, could you walk, you know, the listeners out there and frankly us through what a typical day may look like out there?
Absolutely. It's, you know, I think that the goal for this site, just in terms of kind of what we're hoping to accomplish. I think first and foremost is to make sure that we have guys who are ready to help out the major league team in this abbreviated 60-game season. I think that is like first and foremost in our mind. And then I think secondarily, I think, you know, as we kind of are, I think all teams are kind of approaching it slightly different, but also looking to, you know, with a select few number of prospects, players, whatever you would like to call them, kind of, you know, not necessarily make up for a lost year in development or not even replace what 2020 could have been, but honestly just kind of see if we can use this time to honestly expedite the growth and the progress of some of our younger players who may not factor in with the 2020 Padres, but to kind of maybe, you know, maybe kind of replace and kind of add a little to what a normal minor league 140 game season would be. But in regards to your question, as far as what it looks like, you know, obviously kind of, you know, the campus is kind of empty and kind of quiet right now. But we will basically be on the field for most of the morning. You know, our players will start rolling in. It's a group, I think of about 27 right now, kind of fit into those two groups that I talked about, kind of, you know, it's a very kind of cool dynamic mix. I think when we talk about player development and the minor leagues in general, typically you're talking about, you know, 18, 19-year-olds playing with 18 and 19-year-olds and competing against them. This is a very diverse group just because of those two two needs and kind of two pathways that we're heading down with this alternate site group, this taxi squad group, whatever you would like to call it. So it is very cool to see Robert Hassel, who was in last couple months ago's draft, or C.J. Abrams, who was our first round pick in 2019, playing alongside Jason Vossler, Seth Mejia's brain, you know, Jorge Mateo, some guys who are at different points in their professional career. So we'll spend the morning kind of practicing. We have a small group of some of our leadership coaches, on-field instructors, coordinators, that'll kind of put them through a lot of very small groups, one-on-one work. So, you know, if you're kind of looking for unique positive aspects of this, we are definitely getting our best instructors with some of our best players. And towards the middle of the day, we'll kind of strap it on and, you know, if our numbers allow, kind of play games and put our players in situations and kind of keep guys ready in case there's a need at the major league level.
Talking to Sam Ganey here on Ben and Woods. So what about the guys who aren't at USD? Because, as you said, there's only 27 more players there. You have dozens and dozens of other minor leaguers, you know, that would have been at various levels this year, that are various, you know, levels of prospects. But all of them are trying to continue their baseball career. How do you monitor what they're doing? Can you even do that? What's the status of kind of the rest of those players?
I think the best way I would describe it is very much like being there to support our players. I think through all of this, especially over the last couple months, and as we've kind of seen the situation in the world and kind of from a public health standpoint, we definitely have been very, very sensitive and want to make sure that our players and their families, that their health kind of reign supreme. But, you know, we want to be there as a resource to kind of, you know, check in on them primarily from that health piece, but also kind of be there to support them as they have, as they kind of work alone, and kind of, like you said, it probably resembles a little more of what a typical off season would look like. You know, say what a player is doing in November, December, or January than they typically would in August. But I think, you know, you don't necessarily think about this when you're putting programs together and, you know, teaching guys how to, you know, do something as simple as activate in a weight room or, you know, develop a throwing program. But I think a lot of the work that we have laid as a development staff over the last couple of years, I think we're finding that we have ingrained some habits so that our players, you know, in this situation when, you know, kind of left to kind of pursue this passion, this kind of pursuit a little more by themselves, that they're able to do that because of some of the groundwork that's been laid.
We are talking to Sam Ganey. He is the Padres Director of Player Development here on Ben and Woods. Obviously, the entire Padres fan base was just, we were so excited, us included, about seeing Luis Patino crash onto the scene the other night. And, yeah, he got He got clicked, as Jay Stengler said, by Jock Peterson, but, you know, that's to be expected. It happens to the best. What was that like for you guys, watching him run in, make his debut? And conversely, how did Mackenzie Gore take it? I mean, he's ranked as the number one prospect across baseball. How did that work?
Well, I think you're definitely in my sweet spot, Louie, and talking about Louie and the young man that he's always been and honestly has grown over the last couple of years to become is one of my favorite topics. I think, Louie's free and kind of the journey. It's honestly been a pretty quick one. This is a young man who's not going to be 21 until October. And, you know, I was, to your point, just a lot of pride, a lot of excitement, a lot of happiness for the kid and for all of the people that touched him. I mean, his story is quite remarkable. It's a story that, you know, for me, is there's a scouting element of, you know, Chris Kemp, you know, in 2016 happening upon a bullpen in Cartagena, Colombia. It's a development story of, you know, a year later as he kind of starts getting his feet wet in the July 2nd league as he was part of that large international signing class in 2016. And then it's seeing him, you know, dominate his offseason year after year. And I was kind of circulating amongst some of my colleagues. I have two videos basically from the same angle of Louie, and one from, you know, August of 2016, basically a month after he signed. And this is probably a 5'9.5", 150-pound young man who was probably throwing 85, 86 miles an hour. And then, kind of put that alongside a video that I captured in the last couple of weeks here at USD and see the man that's kind of grown into every bit of 6'1", 190 pounds, and that 85, 88 is much more like 96, 98. So, there's the scouting piece, there's the development piece to it, and as much as anything, there's the human piece and the kid and his background and the people that he comes from. I think AJ and Mark Connor and Chris, I think they always, you know, they're always kind of, as they're thinking about signing and adding guys to the organization, they're always asking themselves, you know, what is this kid doing? What's this kid doing on December 15th? What's this kid doing on January 15th? And on December 19th, after the winter meetings last year, Chris Kemp and I actually, we flew down to Barranquilla, Colombia, to actually see what Luis Patino was doing. And, you know, I go back to that trip and just seeing, I remember standing and talking to Chris as we kind of, you know, left our hotel that morning at 7 a.m. or something. And I looked at Chris and I said, I'm not sure what we're going to see this morning, but I know at 7:30 a.m. on this kind of damp, wet field in Barranquilla, Colombia, that Luis Patino is going to bring a ton of energy. And he absolutely did. And so, you know, when you ask that question about Louie, like, what is he doing on December 19th, you know, before he's pitched a single inning in the major leagues, it was really, really easy for us to answer. And it goes back to the kid. He was going to be successful no matter where he was. I feel fortunate that we provided him some resources along the way to kind of make it happen so quickly. But it's an ascent through the minor leagues that that the organization and he and everyone involved can be very proud of. And to your last question, he and Mackenzie have developed an incredible bond. I think they compete well with each other. But I think, you know, not wanting to speak for Mackenzie, but I think he's tremendously proud and happy for one of his friends and a guy that he has spent the last couple of years with kind of grinding it to the major leagues but you know, they are competitors, and I'm sure Mackenzie's expecting to follow him shortly.
They're like stepbrothers, inseparable. Yeah. I love that idea. I love it. Sam, speaking of Luis Patino, we talked about it earlier. So there was a tweet about a stat that there have been 5 players now in Major League Baseball born in the year 1999. I believe it was Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Fernando Tatis Jr., Adrian Morejon, Andres Munoz, and now Luis Patino. 4 of those 5 are Padres coming up at age 20, essentially, to Major League Baseball. Now, obviously that speaks well to Padres drafting, signings, player development. But is there a bigger picture that you're kind of a different strategy that maybe the Padres are doing that other organizations aren't willing to promote guys as young as the Padres are? Is that something you talk about with A.J. Preller?
I think we talk about a lot with these players showing us when they're going to be ready. The players are ultimately going to tell us when they're ready to help us in the major leagues. I think we are constantly, AJ is, you know, working with us and asking us and saying, how are we doing? Is, in Louis's case, like, how's, you know, what's the delivery like? What's the breaking ball like? How's the changeup coming? And as we kind of work through alongside and partner with the players, as we kind of mark those boxes off along the way, you get to a point where, the age is not honestly the most important thing. If we think as an organization that this guy, that this player, player X, gives us the best chance to compete and win games in the big leagues, we're gonna move him up. And I think you're seeing it around the game, honestly. I think it's a young player's game. I think it is trending that way. It's probably been trending that way for the last couple of years. But ultimately, the players are going to tell us when they're ready to play and compete. And through their performance, through their work ethic, through their character, and through their stuff, and what kind of talent they possess.
Sam, really appreciate it. Thank
Good
you
stuff,
for the
man.
Update on the Padres minor leaguers during this odd pandemic season. And always a pleasure talking to you on the show.
Enjoyed it, guys. Thank you. Look forward to doing it again soon.
Thanks,
Sam Gamey, Padres Director of Player Development on our SDCCU fan hotline. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates, equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU4U or to apply online, visit SDCCU.com. They really love Luis Patino. You can hear it.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to anybody in the Padres organization.
Beaming.
And they love that game.
I love him, too. I love what I saw the other night. I really did. And, you know, homers aside, it happens to the best of them. He looks like he belongs. Just like when we met Fernando Tatis Jr., Ben, what is the first thing we said? That kid belongs in the big leagues. There's just not a question. It's a waste of his time to be anywhere but the big leagues. And that's been a really great move for them, obviously. And I think this one's going to pan out really well also.
You know, hearing Sam gush over Luis Patino there, we've had several people this week gush over not his talent on the mound,
yeah,
the person that he
the
is,
person.
Man. Seems like a really good guy to have in your organization.
Can't wait. Yeah. I can't wait to see him just flourish, you know? And I can't, honestly, I can't wait for the next
appearance. Yeah, I don't know that it'll
the next
happen
appearance.
This season.
No, nor do I. Nor does anybody.
But I feel pretty confident that, you know, give this kid, you know, a couple of months in the big leagues, you know, by next year.
Get his feet wet.
He's going to be a pretty dominant pitcher in Major League Baseball.
Man, and if you that's what makes Padre fans salivate when you look at this rotation. Not this year, maybe next. Of Mackenzie Gore, Chris Paddock, Luis Patino, and on down the list. It could get pretty fun around here.
Friar Friday continues here. The Padres made a roster move. If you missed it, we discussed it early this morning, but I want to bring back what the Padres did yesterday to get down to the 28-man roster limit. Not what we expected.
At all.
I'll say that Woods and I were totally off base on our guesses yesterday of what the Padres were going to do. Why did they do it? We'll try to figure that out. That's coming up next. Right now, let's get a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.